Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, hello, and welcome to this Friday edition of our program. Great to have you with me today. We are bringing to conclusion a two-week series by Derek Prince called Where to Find Security. And though the title might not suggest it to everyone, Derek has gone into some real dark corners of the Christian experience, some wonderful things as well. He's talked about obeying the Lord, your history with the Lord, how you can have a real sense of security in Him, how this world is passing. It's like fading grass, but that we really can have a security in the Lord. He's talked about depression. He's talked about dealing with criticism. He's talked about our finances. And in the last few days, I've really been moved by how Derek has been talking about how we can have a history with God of obedience that makes us incapable of resistance by the enemy, that the enemy can't come against us if, in a sense, we build a castle of righteousness through our obedience. It's a wonderful teaching, and I'm so glad that you've been with us. Listen, if you've missed any of that, you can log on to the website at derekprince.org and listen to it as often as you like, as well as find out some great things about how to partner with Derek Prince Ministries. Now, today, Derek is going to talk about a topic that all of us need to know. Obviously, it's called security in adversity. You know, it may be bad news for some of you. I hope it's not. But the Bible does tell us we're going to have difficult times. We'll have to go through many troubles to enter the kingdom, the Bible says. Offenses will come. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're living a righteous life, you will have adversity. And yet adversity doesn't mean that you get shaken from your foundations. It doesn't mean that you get shaken from the truths that you know. And it doesn't mean that you can't walk through adversity as a secure, solid man of God or woman of God. So that's what we're going to be hearing today. Again, if you miss any of this, log on to the website and just steep in it as much as you need to. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us about how to have security in adversity.
Over these past weeks, I've been sharing with you on God's provision of total security for His people. I've explained how this relates to specific areas of need, time of trouble, war, famine, and so on, and I illustrated that from my own experience. I spoke about security against financial pressures, emotional pressures, against criticism and misrepresentation. And I've shared with you that the key to this kind of security is unreserved commitment to fulfill God's will for your life. We've looked at this stated so clearly in 1 John 2:17. The world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. Once again, the contrast between the temporary and the eternal. Everything in this world, all its systems, all its plans, all its provisions, all its ambitions, is all temporary. It's passing away. It's on the way out. But God's will is eternal, and God's will is all-conquering. Ultimately, God's will is going to prevail over everything else. And the one who does God's will is as sure, as secure, as irresistible as the will of God itself. So by faith, we can unite ourselves with the will of God and become invincible, irresistible. Yesterday, I illustrated this principle from the career of Joshua in the Old Testament. Today, I'm going to show you how the same principle worked out in the life of a great servant of God in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. Paul here, as we're going to look at him, is in adversity. In the natural, everything has gone wrong. Things that were very dear and precious to him have been taken from him. Let's face it. Sooner or later, most of us are going to find ourselves in a situation of adversity. It may not be exactly the same kind of situation that Paul was in, but sooner or later, we're going to be confronted with adversity. And we need to be sure that we have the kind of security that doesn't desert us in adversity, that sees us through the hard place, the lonely place, the difficult place. So let's look at the picture of Paul, which is found in the second epistle to Timothy, mainly in the last chapter. We have to emphasize that in the natural, at this point, everything was against Paul. He was in a Roman jail. He was awaiting trial by one of the most wicked and corrupt rulers of human history, Nero. It was almost certain that he would be condemned to execution. And many, many other things. He was an elderly man. Perhaps his strength was failing. It was cold. In the jail, he didn't have adequate clothing. Just about everything that could be against a person was against him. I'll just sum it up a little. First of all, he was left alone, without his co-workers. This is what he says, 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 11, writing to Timothy, "Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica." What a terrible, bitter disappointment. One of Paul's closest friends, most trusted co-workers, had gone back on his commitment, not only to Paul, but to Christ, gone back into the world. And others had left for other reasons. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. I've only got one man left with me now. That's Luke, the beloved physician. Then he says, a little further on in the 20th verse, "Erastus stayed in Corinth, another fellow worker. And I left Trophimus sick in Miletus." That's another bit of disappointment. Even the great apostle Paul apparently didn't get his prayers answered for Trophimus. So he had to leave that trusted fellow worker behind in Miletus. And then he had been harmed, bitterly harmed by his enemies. Without bitterness, but with very objective reality, he writes this, verses 14 and 15, "Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he's done." Paul said, "I'm not going to seek vengeance, but he's in the Lord's hands. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message." Paul had many powerful, active enemies. And then he had been deserted by his friends. It's one thing to have your enemies against you, but how much more bitter when you're deserted by your friends? This is what he says in verse 16, "At my first defense, when I first appeared before the emperor, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me." Isn't that a terrible statement? Everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. Again, there's no vindictiveness, no bitterness. And then he was without adequate clothing and equipment. So in verse 13 of that chapter, he writes to Timothy, "When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas." And when I read those words, "bring the cloak," I see Paul in that stone dungeon, winter coming on, no warm clothing. He was human like the rest of us. One of the things that's most difficult for me to endure, I have to admit, is cold. When Paul wrote somewhere else in his writings that he'd endured cold and nakedness, I kind of shudder inside with those words. But there he was, without adequate clothing or provision for the cold in that cell as winter came on. Then he says also, "Bring my scroll, especially the parchments." Why did he want the scroll, the parchments? Well, he wanted to write letters, and he didn't have the material to do it. What kind of letters do you think he was going to write? Letters complaining about his situation? I doubt it. I think he was concerned with the Christian churches and the disciples that he knew in various parts of the ancient world, and he wanted to write to them and comfort them and encourage them. His mind was not focused on himself at all. So that's the picture of Paul right at the end of his life in a situation of adversity.
You know, I really want to urge you to remember something that Derek has just said. And that is that as many troubles and as many trials and as much betrayal as the Apostle Paul endured, he emerged from it without bitterness, without a hardness of heart, without a calloused soul. And I want to say to you that that's one of the great challenges. If we don't go through adversity with security and confidence in the Lord, we're going to blame people. We're going to become small, mean, and bitter. Rise above it. Live in the security of God. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
As a new believer, you want to know more about the promises found in God's Word. As a seasoned Christian, you want to gain deeper understanding of the mysteries of the Bible. No matter where you are in your journey of a lifetime, Derek's landmark book, Foundational Truths for Christian Living, will quickly move you farther along. Now completely revised and updated, Foundational Truths for Christian Living provides an indispensable foundation for all believers and is a proven and trusted reference tool for counseling, ministry, and sharing your faith. Drawing from over five decades of scripture-based teaching and study in the original Greek and Hebrew, Derek Prince clearly unpacks the foundational truths of the Christian faith. Foundational Truths for Christian Living gives you everything you need to develop a strong, balanced, and power-filled life of faith. Normally $19.95, for a limited time, Derek Prince Legacy Radio listeners can order a copy for only $14.95, a savings of 25%. Call now, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Receive this foundational treasure mined from years of study. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or order securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Glad that you're with me here on this Friday. We're bringing to a conclusion a great two-week series on knowing the will of God, on finding security, on living out God's will in our lives and being secure, confident people. And today, Derek is talking to us about security in adversity. Every single one of us will be called upon to live this out just in the next few days. So let's prepare our hearts to receive the word of the Lord. Here we go.
We've looked at the situation in which Paul found himself there, right near the end of his life in that jail, forsaken by his fellow workers, deserted by his friends, with great opposition against him, inadequate material provision. Now let's ask ourselves, in that situation, what was Paul's attitude? He states it himself in that same fourth chapter of 1 Timothy verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. The time has come for my departure. I wonder if you see the picture there. In the sacrifices of the Old Testament, with every animal that was offered in sacrifice, they also had to offer a drink offering of wine. The sacrifice of the animal was not complete without the drink offering. And Paul says, I've offered to the Lord the sacrifice of my labors, the disciples I've made, the churches I've founded. But he said, to make that sacrifice complete, my own life is being poured out like that drink offering. So he said, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. The time has come for my departure. Notice the time has come. You remember I emphasized that nothing could come against us as we walk in the will of God until God's time comes. Then he goes on, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I want to tell you, friend, that if you're going to keep the faith, you're going to have to fight the fight. Faith is a fight. It takes courage. It takes determination. It takes commitment. But Paul said, I've finished the race. I've done all that was allotted me to do. And then he looks forward, out of time, into eternity. It's like a window opened in that cell, and he looked right beyond those gray stone walls out into a different scene. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. That always touches me, because Paul knew that he was going to stand before an unrighteous judge who would pronounce an unrighteous sentence against him, a death sentence. But he said, that's not the last judgment. There's another one lying ahead. And in eternity, I'm going to stand before an absolutely righteous judge, and he will give me the due reward for all that I've done in his service. You see, he had such serene confidence. He knew that everything was under God's control. There was no bitterness, no regrets. What was the secret of that attitude? I believe it's beautifully stated a little earlier in that epistle, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, speaking about all that he'd been through. He says, Yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. I want to pick out two key phrases there. The secret of Paul's serenity and security in the situation of adversity. First of all, I know whom I have believed. Note, he didn't say, I know what I have believed. It wasn't a doctrine that was his security. It was a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not enough, dear friend, to believe in a doctrine. That doctrine has got to take you to a person, to the person of the Savior, to the Lord Jesus. Can you say, I know whom I have believed? I'm not asking if you know what you have believed. Do you know whom you have believed? And then the second statement there that Paul makes that's so significant is, I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him. The King James Version says, what I have committed to him. You see, that's the secret of true security. It's total commitment to God and to His will. When you've committed your life and all that you are and all that you're ever going to be into the hands of God, you can be absolutely sure that God is able to guard what you've entrusted to Him.
You know, nowhere in the Bible is Paul's security in God witnessed quite like in his words, "I know whom I have believed. I know whose I am." Now, Paul was in the middle of a horrible moment, a horrible time in his life. He was near death, and yet he was able to say, "I know who I belong to. I know who's got me. I know who I'm about." That is the security that is able to face adversity. There's so much more to come, as well as a visit from the president of Derek Prince Ministries, as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
As a new believer, you want to know more about the promises found in God's Word. As a seasoned Christian, you want to gain deeper understanding of the mysteries of the Bible. No matter where you are in your journey of a lifetime, Derek's landmark book, Foundational Truths for Christian Living, will quickly move you farther along. Now completely revised and updated, Foundational Truths for Christian Living provides an indispensable foundation for all believers and is a proven and trusted reference tool for counseling, ministry, and sharing your faith. Drawing from over five decades of scripture-based teaching and study in the original Greek and Hebrew, Derek Prince clearly unpacks the foundational truths of the Christian faith. Foundational Truths for Christian Living gives you everything you need to develop a strong, balanced, and power-filled life of faith. Normally $19.95. For a limited time, Derek Prince Legacy Radio listeners can order a copy for only $14.95, a savings of 25%. Call now, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Receive this foundational treasure mined from years of study. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or order securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us here in the last portion of the last show of this marvelous two-week series on where to find security. What a great time it's been. And to help me process it a little bit and apply it to our lives, with me in the studio today is Dick Leggett, the president of Derek Prince Ministries. Dick, it's always great to have you with me.
Hi, Stephen. Good to see you again.
Derek has taken us to all sorts of critical issues like dealing with adversity, depression, rejection, criticism, our finances. It's been a real feast.
Yeah, you know, when you think in terms of security, you think of kind of resting on your laurels, and it's like kicking back and being relaxed. But what Derek has said is anything but that. And, you know, this is a theme that we're hearing. I'm visiting with a lot of people, and you know, when we visit, we talk about what's going on at Derek Prince Ministries, and there are a lot of exciting things happening, good opportunities. But we also talk about what the Lord is saying to these people. It's a wonderful time of sharing. And the thing that I'm hearing consistently is people who are saying, man, I feel like it's a time to be taking initiative, to be forceful, to be pursuing, to be out there doing what God wants us to do. And it's almost as if the security that we find in these days only comes as we're willing to take initiative.
And, you know, it's interesting because the spirit of our times would really produce the opposite effect if we didn't know the Lord. These are intimidating times. These are times in which, as I look at the newspapers, watch what's going on in the world, I see a lot of insecurity. I see a lot of lost confidence in the institutions that men have built, a lot of real sense of sort of crisis living in a sense. But at the same time, you're absolutely right. Those who know the Lord, I mean, you know, you remember the great verse from Daniel,
yeah,
those who
Daniel
know
11,
the Lord
32.
Will do mighty exploits. And that's what's going on in our generation. Tremendous things happening in the body of Christ. But only because people have found their security in God.
Yeah, and it's exactly what Derek has been sharing, you know, the great passage that Paul, where Paul says, I know whom I've believed. I mean, in the midst of some rather trying times that Paul was experiencing, his bedrock was the fact of what he knew. And often, you know, I think of this, the same passage, same kind of a thought, when I studied John 13, and you realize it starts by saying that Jesus, knowing that his time had come, knowing that his hour had arrived, and then later it says, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from the Father, and that he was returning to the Father. all that Jesus did after that was based upon that predicate of knowing. He knew. Jesus did not have an identity crisis, even at the hour of his greatest trial. He knew who he was, knew where he'd come from, knew where he was headed, knew what God wanted to accomplish, what the Father was intending to accomplish through his life. And man, that gave him such power to be able to stand in the day of challenge and to do exactly what the Father had intended for his life.
You know, it's amazing. In my life, I've seen a lot of people live bold, passionate lives. But the way that they did that, the way that that was accomplished, I'm talking about Christian people now, was that they did not subject their souls to the opinions of men. You know, Galatians 1:10 right. says, if I'm going to be a servant of the opinions of men, I can't be a servant of God. And I really believe you have a choice in life. We either live subject to either the fears of this world or the opinions and criticisms of men on the one hand, or we live subject to the Lord and obedient to Him, which I think produces confidence. But I'm not sure that you can accomplish the great things you're destined for if you're constantly subjecting your sense of well-being and your sense of destiny to those around you and whether they accept you and love you and affirm you and all that kind of thing. I mean, I realize we need other human beings, but I have to tell you, those who have made history are those who knew who they were if every human being on the earth opposed them.
It's a kind of a challenge that we're facing at Derek Prince Ministries as well, because, you know, the Lord has something that He wants us to accomplish through Derek Prince Ministries. We have the wonderful privilege of taking the legacy, the teaching legacy that Derek left forward. And, you know, at the very beginning, Stephen, there were probably people who would have said, hey, Derek has passed on, and this would probably be a good time just to shut things down. But what we're sensing is exactly the opposite of that. And when we talk with people who are committed to the ministry and who are supporting the ministry, what they're saying is, be bold, take it on. We have a firm conviction that God intends to use Derek's ministry much more in the 21st century than He even did in the 20th century. And as you know, God used Derek enormously in the 20th century.
Yes.
So everything we're hearing is press on, move forward, carry on. And even explore new territories where, you know, conventional wisdom may say, hey, that's a pretty bold step there. Are you sure you want to take it?
Well, you know, and it excites me because I think the Lord has put together the perfect kind of positioning for people to be able to support what we're doing with real confidence. You know, there's been a lot of abuse of money in some ministries in the last years. People have lost confidence. There was a downturn in giving to major ministries. But a lot of that had to do with people's concerns that ministries were personality driven. Well, the personality, if there is a single personality behind what we're doing here, of course, that main personality is Jesus, but I'm talking about the person that the vessel that God used is no longer with us. So it's not like we're buying somebody a second home or whatever. What we're doing is trying to pump the gospel into the nations of the earth. And people can find out what Derek Prince Ministries is doing, how it's a lean, clean ministry machine, so to speak, on DerekPrince.org. And I'm thrilled with that. I want people to know that they can partner, that they can give, that they can support, that we're taking the gospel into the nations of the earth, that we're trying to reach every American city, that we really want to get this great archive, this great legacy that we have into people's hands. Because it's the Word of God, not because we're trying to build something of our own.
Yeah, Stephen, let me just say unequivocally, this isn't about Derek. This is about getting the Word of God into the hands of people who can then deepen their faith, deepen their commitment to Jesus, and go and do what God wants them to do. That's it, bottom line. That's what we're all about, and that's what we're pushing forward to do.
Well, that's what we want to be able to do. Listen, Dick, it's great to have you with us today.
Thanks, Stephen. Great to be with you again.
Well, listen, it's Friday. I hope you have a great weekend, but that's all the time that we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again on Monday as the legacy continues.
Take a moment to order your copy of Derek's landmark work, Foundational Truths for Christian Living, available for a limited time for only $14.95. Simply call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Take a moment to call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your copy of Foundational Truths for Christian Living securely online at DerekPrince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at DerekPrince.org.